Welcome to A Moment for Moms, your guide to raising mentally and financially fit professional athletes with Wendy Sparks and Danielle LaForce. This is the podcast where we celebrate the unsung heroes of sports, the moms. We will speak to moms of the basketball players that you all love and dive deep into what it really takes to raise pro basketball players while equipping moms with the tools, insights, and support they need for the journey.
Today we have a very special guest. Please welcome Erin Lusick with USI.
Hello.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for joining us today, Erin.
Of course.
So please, Erin, tell us, what do you do and how does it apply to athletes?
I'm a personal risk advisor at USI, which is one of the largest insurance brokerages in the United States. And what I do is I work with high net worth and ultra high net worth individuals and their families to make sure that the insurance on the things they own, such as their homes, their autos, boats, jewelry, fine art, whatever they may buy, are properly protected and that they understand how they're protected. And I also work on the liability that for people and for the things that happen, you get sued by a third party. We make sure that you have appropriate liability to protect against that. And it applies to athletes because from a property perspective, a lot of them are finding new wealth, and with new wealth comes a desire to buy new things, buy that house you've always wanted, buy a house for your mom, buy a car, and we help them make sure that if there's a loss or damage, that they're not going to be coming up out of pocket for something they didn't expect. And from a liability perspective, unfortunately, athletes are targets. They get in a fender bender, suddenly, you know, a basketball player gets out of the car and the person you hit's neck hurts a whole lot worse than it would have if it wasn't them. So
I hit them.
Yeah. Right. So it's really important to make sure that insurance isn't sort of the forgotten piece of the wealth management pie, so to speak. And so we work with the other trusted advisors to make sure that we're thinking about that proper protection and the advice that they need that goes along with that.
Now, insurance is something that, you know, in our culture, we really have not thought about or thought was important, right? And you know, you said you work with high net worth individuals, but how important is insurance overall?
Insurance is really, really important. And I'll tell you a sort of irrelevant story, but my brother moved to Atlanta right after college, and he had dropped the comprehensive and collision coverage from his car because it made his insurance cheaper, and he was just thinking, how do I make this insurance as cheap as I can? He parks that car in front of his house or his apartment in Atlanta, wakes up the next morning, and it is gone. Mm-hmm. Calls me in tears because he doesn't know what he's going to do. And I said, okay, we'll call your insurance company. He said, I had liability only coverage. And so now I always ask my clients, if that car gets stolen, are you going to say, oh, well, I'll buy a new one? Or is it going to really impact your life and your financial health to have to go out and buy a new car? Yeah. And if the answer is the latter, and for most people, I think the answer is the latter, that they don't, losing a car, especially since they're all $100,000, it seems, these days, is a devastating thing, especially when, you know, we all know that the perception of the wealth that new athletes have is large, but in all actuality, when you get down to brass tacks, they're still having to kind of watch what they're spending to make sure that they're coming out on top. So it's really hugely important to get insurance for the things you own and to understand how it works. So when that loss comes, you're not calling me saying, Erin, do I have this coverage? You know, because we've talked about it.
Right. How did you get involved in risk management?
Accidentally. I have heard a rumor. I've heard a rumor that there are people who grow up and want to be risk managers, but I've yet to meet one. What happened? I grew up in a small town just outside of Savannah, Georgia. If you hear the twang coming out, that's why. And I was a creative person. I did my first tour when I was 14. I was a lead singer in a country band at 13. My dad was with me at all times. I was making $50 a week. I thought I was rich. And so I grew up thinking I was going to be a singer. And it didn't happen. Just like, you know, athletes grow up thinking they're going to make it to the NFL or the NBA, and it doesn't always happen. So I moved to New York, followed a boy. Not a great decision. But I I found my way to a staffing agency who sent me to a high net worth insurance brokerage. And I worked there as a temp for 30 days and they hired me on permanently. I later found out I was the only temp they have ever hired. Growing up in a Southern Irish family, my dad always said, the one thing you know is if you work harder and longer than everybody else, you'll get noticed. And so I just stayed as long as I needed to get the job done. And I fell into it and realized that while I, maybe it wasn't my plan, working with high net worth people, particularly in the sports and entertainment space, helps. It helps that I have a creative background. It helps that I grew up immersed in something so deeply that I thought that was the only thing I can do because I get their lives. I get that. And so I think that helps me relate to the athletes and what they're going through as they build their career and how hard it is to think past what you're doing right then. Mm-hmm.
I think for most of us, besides health insurance and life insurance, that's the extent to insurance. So for our athletes and high net worth individuals, what other areas, besides the car and the house, what other areas do you think they need to protect and have insurance for? Because we've been talking about having Terrence have event insurance.
Yes.
Just in case he goes to an event or he's hosting an event and something happens, he's not liable for that. So what other things besides a normal health, life, car, home are you discussing with your clientele?
Well, one of the obvious ones I think is jewelry. A lot of athletes acquire a significant amount of jewelry and they don't think about adding that to an insurance policy. Maybe they think it's going to get picked up on their homeowner's policy. Mm-hmm. There's typically a $5,000 jewelry limit on a homeowner's policy and it is subject to a deductible. So if you've got a $5,000 deductible, but jewelry coverage is, on the whole, not that expensive, typically doesn't carry a deductible. The coverages we provide typically are worldwide, so even if they're playing overseas or they take something overseas or they're just going on vacation and they lose something, they've got it. Also, if they are involved in charitable events, they have a foundation of their own, you do want to think about event insurance. Whether that means that you are getting an event policy for them because they're sponsoring the event, or you're making sure to ask the sponsor of the event they're attending to add them as an additional insurer, add them to the policy, so that you're what we're doing when we do these things is putting a buffer between that athlete and their wealth and the potential loss. So, I have a client who was doing some kind of things, and we said, put this thing that you're doing, this event that you're holding, in an LLC. Mm-hmm. And then if something happens and somebody sues, you can say, that LLC doesn't hold anything but this event. And unfortunately, it doesn't have any money.
Yeah.
Except this insurance policy, so take it and go. And sometimes that works. But other things they need to be thinking about are workers' compensation. Mm-hmm. If they have employees, domestic employees, they need to be thinking about disability. In the state of New York, and a lot of states are like that, if you have an employee who works full-time or who spends the night, no matter how many number of nights a week it is, you must have workers' compensation, paid family leave, and disability insurance. Wow. And if you don't, they will start sending letters and they will start fining you. And it is terrifying to open a letter from the New York State Insurance Fund that says you owe us $50,000. Mm-hmm. And so that's something else to think about. And then making sure that, again, you have that sufficient liability. So homeowners, auto, they have liability. Most people have seen that as a line item.
Yeah.
But you can buy excess liability or an umbrella that sits on top of that and gives you additional coverage. And sometimes, we're able to get those policies that pay for the legal defense without eroding that limit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's really expensive about getting sued, because even if it's frivolous, you have to respond and you have to hire an attorney. So in this case, they can say, hey, I got this this lawsuit saying that I rear-ended this person and now they have $7 million worth of medical payments. I know that's not true because I watched him get out and smoke a cigarette. And so here, insurance company, can you handle that? And they hire the attorney and they do the defense. And he can go right back to playing basketball, which is what you want. And so those are kind of the big ones I would definitely be thinking about.
So what is risk management, or how is it different from insurance?
So when you think about an insurance agent or an insurance broker, and by license, I'm an insurance broker. I think I have an agent's license too, so I guess I'm both. They are people who transact insurance. And the difference between what we call a captive agent or a direct writer, and those are things like Allstate, State Farm, Nationwide. Not Nationwide has a brokerage arm, but these carriers that you call them, you call Geico, the person you're talking to works for Geico.
Right.
The difference between that and a broker is that we have access to multiple carriers at one time, and we are paid through a commission agreement with that carrier. And so we're not asking for any additional money. We're not asking for that. It's baked into your premiums, and it's not something that they add in on top. It's all baked in. And we're able to go out and get multiple options. If something happens and you get canceled, we're not like, oh, sorry, call somebody else. We can take care of that for you. And so that's kind of the difference between an agent and a broker. And then a difference between that and what I do, which is risk management advisement, is we don't just look at the insurance products and what insurance you should buy. We look at what are the risks you take. What are some things you might not be thinking about? Like, if you're an avid skier, people get hurt. Mm-hmm. I mean, we saw it this year with Gwyneth Paltrow. She got sued because of something that happened on the ski slopes. We ask about your travel habits. We ask a lot of different questions to get an idea about what your world looks like, to ask you questions that might remind you of things you forgot about, like that vacant piece of land you want somewhere because you're going to build on it someday, or the fact that you're going to do renovations next year and you didn't tell anybody. And then what we do is we give you the options, or I give you the options, and we talk about them. Mm-hmm. And let the person who is purchasing the insurance make the decision what works for them. And that might mean taking higher deductibles. That might mean, no, mm-hmm. I'm comfortable without that insurance. I don't want to pay that to insure my jewelry. I'm comfortable, you know, knowing that if it's gone, it's gone. And really making sure that we understand the risk, and that we're talking about not just how to transition it to an insurance company, but also how to mitigate it yourself. Do you have alarms? Have you thought about putting in these $50 water sensors that sit by your sink and squawk at you if there's a leak? You know, all these little things that we know that we've picked up to help mitigate a loss. Those things matter. And we're not just saying buy this insurance and go away.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I was going to ask you too, because a lot of people think they don't need it. Yeah. So in your experience working with athletes, how many of them come to you after the fact that something did happen and now I should have had insurance?
Right.
Because that's what we want to get people to understand, how important it is to have this in place before anything does happen.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't get that. They wait till something happens and they say, dang, I should have, you know, woulda, shoulda, coulda. So if you had to guess, what percentage of the athletes who we've been talking about now come to you after the fact and say, dang, I wish I had done this before?
It's getting less and less. Good. Because of the work that I've been doing with people like you two to get the conversation flowing, and the folks at UBS who help bring us in as part of the wealth management preservations conversation rather than waiting until it's too late. But yeah, I would say probably 35-40%. And if you asked me this last year, it'd be higher than that, come because either they've noticed a huge gap in coverage. So, like, their wealth advisor looked at that and said, hey, do you realize that they've still got your old address from the state you don't live in anymore? That's another thing that happens. Or, like you said, they got in that auto accident and realized that the coverage they thought they had wasn't the coverage they thought they had. And now they're like, can you find me somebody who's going to get me something that actually works?
Yeah.
What is the best way for a player and family to find someone trustworthy to help them work on a good insurance program?
I would say ask your fellow moms, ask the wives.
As a reference.
Yeah, as a reference. Yeah. Who are you working with? Are you comfortable with them? Do you like them? And when you get a kind of, and you know what, hey, you can ask the agent and the business manager and as well, but I would say pick a couple of names and hear me out here. So, because it's a little tricky. So pick a couple of names and call the first one. Call the one that you have the best feeling about, because maybe that's somebody Dania recommended and you know you trust her. have a conversation with them. Don't give them your all of your information yet. Don't ask them to go get you quotes. And the reason is because in the brokerage space, many carriers won't give quotes to two different brokers. So if you ask two brokers to work, they're just going to run into each other constantly. And so you want to pick that broker before you start getting a bunch of quotes. So go with your gut. Go with the person who listens to you and hears you and doesn't push you. Well, can I get your deck pages? I really can't help you until I get your deck pages. At USI, one of the things we pride ourselves on is having that conversation about risk before we ever ask you to give us your information, because we want to talk you through things before we start talking about numbers. And
that's where we're at right now.
Yeah.
What's your calendar? Let me see what these events are, and then I'll come back to you
later. Right. And we're going to tell you what's available.
Yes.
We're going to tell you what you can do and what the options are and what makes the most sense.
Right.
You know, and then we'll talk through the limits and how they work and what's excluded and
right.
those types of things. And I think it's just such a different experience than what I think a lot of people are used to, but what I was used to before I came into the industry. You know, you call up the Allstate broker, you give them your information, your date of birth, your address, that sort of thing. They call you back. They give you some numbers. You say, yeah, sure, that looks okay. And then you get your policy.
Mm-hmm.
You have no idea how it works. You have no idea what it covers. You have no idea what you just bought. And then you get in a car accident and you just sit and think, did I buy collision coverage? I can't remember. Did I tell them to take that off? I can't remember. I don't. It's particularly with these athletes, I want them to be like, I know my mama took care of this. Like, I know this is right, because they've got bigger things to worry about. And so it's our job to make sure that they don't have to worry about that they don't have to ask questions, and that the decisions are made with an open mind and open eyes.
And I think one thing our professional athletes have to understand, that they are now a brand.
Yes.
They are now a company.
Yes.
They have to protect who they are from, like you said, from those situations. But how do you get them to transition to, I'm not just, hey, Terrence Mann, the NBA player for the Clippers. I am a brand. I am a business. And I now have to protect all of this.
Well, it's funny you mentioned Terrence, because when I had the opportunity to see him speak with you, that was something that impressed me the most about him, was how deeply that resonates with him, how much he gets that he is himself and he is a brand. And unfortunately, during this period of his life, I think the brand takes a lot more focus than the man. And he's so mature about it that it actually inspired me to start having deeper conversations with clients. And one of the things that we've actually talked about is, how do you insure things, and how do you set this up in such a way that it makes sense? And when you talk about an actual brand, most players have shell corporations or an LLC or some type of thing set up. And what we can often do, not to give away the state secrets here, is we can create on the liability side what we call a joint commercial general liability and comprehensive personal liability policy that sandwiches together, and we put that policy in the name of that shell corporation, but it covers the player. And we're kind of then sliding that player's liability in under that brand, and again, creating that layer of mystery between the accident and the wealth. And so
basically, you cover them with bubble wrap, and then that's what you do.
Cover them in actual bubble wrap.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, I love it. Right?
I have watched games where one of my clients beats the poo out of another one of my clients, and I'm like, please stop. So I wish I could wrap you in actual bubble wrap, but
technically, that's what insurance is.
Yes.
You're wrapping
yes,
in bubble wrap.
Yes. And,
yep.
And,
yep.
And one of the reasons, you know, I work for USI is because I've heard our CEO talk exactly about that. 360
yes.
degrees. We put
protection.
You in the middle, and it's our job not to tell you what you shouldn't do, not to tell you don't start that foundation, don't have this event, don't do that. It's our job to say, hey, here's what the risk is. Here's
right.
what you can cover. Here's what you can't cover. And let's talk about it.
That's great. I think that's what moms need to hear.
Yeah.
You need to have 360 protection around you because of
100%.
What you do and what people expect of you.
And I will say, going back to those conversations you have with brokers, the difference between, I think, people like me, and I'm not by any means the only person who does this well, is care. Mm-hmm. If you don't feel like that broker genuinely cares about getting it right, find someone who does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's super important. So with that said, can you give us an example of when, examples of something that happened where really having the right broker would be important?
This is a high profile person, but not specifically an athlete. But he was driving to Mass on a Sunday morning, and someone pulled out of a gas station parking lot where he had gone to purchase booze first thing in the morning, and my client hit him and killed him. And even though he didn't do it on purpose, he wasn't under the influence, he was on his way to church, he still took a life. And because we had done that analysis, because we had put sufficient coverage in place, we were able to say, your job right now is to heal, because killing someone takes its toll on you, even if it wasn't your responsibility. And the insurance company found a good attorney. They were able to quietly settle for a large amount of money, and the client was able to not have to get embedded in something that was going to be in the media, a big nasty court trial. They were able to just kind of quietly take care of the financial side of things, because he was sued, and it makes sense. But had he gone to somebody who sold him $1 million umbrella, because that's just what they're used to doing, that $1 million would not have come anywhere close to what they needed. And then he would have been not only having to deal with the aftermath of such a serious accident, he would have had to also probably liquidate some of his own assets to pay that loss. So I know that's a bit of a downer, but this is reality. Accidents happen every day. People get hurt every day. As a matter of fact, little point of information is that automobile deaths are higher now than they have been for decades before COVID. Something about COVID made us all forget how to drive, apparently, and auto-related deaths are actually increasing, which is shocking because the safety of vehicles is also increasing. Right. So these things happen. Houses burn down. They burn to the ground, and then you have nothing, and you need to clear all that rubble and put your life back together. And so it's, you want to make sure that you haven't just checked the box on that, because when these things happen, you want to make sure that you can just, you know what you have, and you can take care of it or have it taken care of for you.
Right.
Our kids are young when they get into the league. How involved do you feel that the families should get into choosing a broker, risk management, insurance for our kids or for the family?
Yeah, I work with many trusted advisors who are working on behalf of the family. They'll answer questions, and I think initially I can understand that hesitation to get highly involved, because you're busy. I mean, even the moms are you're busy, but I would say ask to speak to that person. Say, hey, this is my son's insurance, and I want to know who to call if there's a loss. And if they say, hey, well, you can just call me, be like, no. Like, we don't need to play the telephone game. I want to know who is in charge of this, and have a conversation with that person. Find out who the team is. We put together a list of kind of like, this is the relationship manager. Here's your account manager. Here's who handles your commercial insurance. Here's who does this. Here are the claims numbers. You got that one little pager on your phone, so you know who to call. You know what to do. And I would say, It would make me feel more comfortable to have at least a family member involved in the annual reviews, involved in looking at the details, because you know things about your life that the age of your agent's not going to know, that their business manager's not going to know, that's your kid. Yeah. Right?
Right.
And so you might be like, what about that pair of earrings he bought his girlfriend last Christmas?
What about the dog?
you know, yeah.
What, get insurance for that, too.
Exactly. Well, exactly. And also, you know, increased liability. I've seen athletes who have bigger dogs who every time that dog goes out, they mysteriously bite someone. I don't know how that happens. And so you have to be, they have to be so careful. Yeah. And you know things about their lives that nobody else does. And so I think it's good to be as involved as you can be, because somebody has to look out for these players, particularly the young ones.
So I come to you as mom, and I'm saying to you, my son, Cambridge, needs your services. What type of questions should I be asking you? Because honestly, I would have zero idea, right?
Yeah.
Like Danielle was saying,
life. People,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Health.
That's it. And we normally come to you, like what Dania says, after the fact.
Right.
We all feel we're invincible. We all feel like, I don't need that. That's not going to happen. Nothing happens to us until it does.
Until it does.
So, but I probably wouldn't come because I'd be afraid.
Because
I don't know what to ask. I don't know what's important.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so I will usually start a conversation by saying, can I take a minute and tell you a little bit about the process? And I'll say, I'm going to ask some questions. And I always say, you're going to think I'm asking you questions because I'm going to try to sell you life insurance. I'm not trying to sell you life insurance. I'm asking these, you know, questions to assess risk. And then I'll tell you, we do a personal risk management review. We'll maybe if you have them handy, ask to look at copies of the current policies. Although many times we're looking at a new purchase of a home or something new that's happening. And we need to gather all the details. I'll often try to scrape as much as I can off public record, because there's a lot in public record these days, before I start asking you, like, when was this house built? When was it, that sort of thing? Because I want to have these targeted conversations. But I would ask questions like, what carriers do you work with? What's your approach to this? And even if you want to say, like, hey, this is my first time having this conversation, what do other moms do?
Yeah.
The broker should be comfortable answering those questions for you and telling you what the process is and how they work and how it's going to go. And also something that you probably don't know but is that when you're working with a direct carrier, you usually get your quotes like that.
Right.
We're going out for a manual review process. We're putting things in. We're negotiating with underwriters. They're coming back and saying, no, I don't want to do Kim's insurance. He's too high profile. And we say, he just retired. He's in Mont. Like, come on. You know, and so it's our job to argue for that and to try and find the best thing and to get a lot of options or as many options as we can. So the process can take some time. So if you need something immediately, if they're moving into an apartment tomorrow, make sure you communicate that, because we can move things around, or maybe we'll call in some help with a colleague, something to do. But communicate when you need it, communicate what you need, and don't be afraid to ask questions that you think make you sound dumb.
But that's the thing. That's why I'm asking. What questions should me as the mom be asking you? Because what you're saying is perfect, although I never would have thought to ask some of the things.
So ask, right? Yeah.
Like if someone were to come to you and say, you know what, I need a broker.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? What should I ask? What would you tell them?
Ask them who they work with. Mm-hmm. You know what? This is kind of a tricky thing. I would ask them how they're compensated.
See?
I would ask them how they're compensated. I am compensated as an advisor, which means, I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, I always say, if I didn't sell a thing, I would be able to keep a roof over my head and feed my family. I would probably eventually be fired for not doing anything, but I am paid as an advisor, and I do get, you know, I do get a small portion of the first year's salary, but I have a salary. And the reason I have a salary and the reason advisor is in my title is because I can talk to you that way. And if the person says, first of all, if they hem and haw and don't want to tell you, that's a pretty good, you know, indicator. Or if they tell you, you know, hey, I work on commission only. I'm not saying don't work with that person, because they need to make a living too, and they may be very, very good at their job. But just hear, it's a good indicator, and it also, it's a tricky question. So it puts them a little bit on the spot to have to kind of tell you about that. I would ask, you know, again, I would say, what carriers are we talking about here? I would ask them, how long do you think this is going to take to get back to me? What's I would say, what's your process? So once I give you all the information, what's your process? How does this look? What do you do? And most importantly, I would let them ask all their questions. If they ask you a question you don't understand, like they say, hey, does your son have any dogs or any pets? You might be like, why does that matter?
I would
don't get defensive, but say,
I would understand.
But say, yeah, he does, but why are you asking me that? And then most brokers will say, oh, because of this.
Yep.
And those will give you those, and it'll give you some education, because then the next time he goes out and buys another dog, you'll be like, oh, well, let me call the insurance people, you know, or whatever you need to do. There are still some carriers who will not cover certain breeds of dogs. Mm-hmm. I don't personally like that very much, because I don't think any dog is evil, but they do, and so you want to make sure that you're communicating that. And then once you let them go through the process and they come back to you with a proposal, ask every question you can think of. I frequently deal with people who are buying their first house, and we will literally say, okay, what's dwelling value mean? What are other structures? Oh, okay. What are contents? And I am thrilled and happy to talk through every line of business, because it's a language you don't speak yet.
Yeah.
And so ask every question. What's this jargon mean? What does that jargon mean? Push back on it. Yeah. And the vast majority of good brokers would love to talk about insurance. Like, so they'll answer. Yeah. And hopefully it can make it entertaining.
Well, I find that a lot of people only come to brokers when you're in a situation where, what do you do when you don't know what to do?
Right.
That's when we come to you, right?
Right. Right. And be honest, you know, always, if you're coming to us because your son got a DUI last Saturday night and they just got a notice from the insurance company saying, ha ha, we're done, be honest about that and say, I'm in a bit of a sticky wicket. This is what's going on. Is there any way you can help me? And just put it all out there, because the more information we have, the easier it is for us to formulate a plan. Right. And to be honest with you and say, okay, you know what? This is probably going to cost a decent amount of money. And we're going to have to go to a specialty market, and your son drives a Bentley. So we're probably going to have to think about moving because sometimes what we have to do is we have to insure the liability on one policy, and then we insure the vehicle, the physical damage to the actual vehicle on another policy, because there's been some incident and we have to go to a London market in order to do that. And so we can tell you, this is what we're going to have to do. This is how long it's going to take to rehabilitate from an insurance perspective before we can look at something else. And so just you really want to work with a broker who you feel comfortable being honest with.
And, you know, earlier, you know, we had UBS on our show, and they talked to, you know, wealth management companies, and they talked about being able to vet your advisor,
yep.
You know, go online, look them up to ask for references. When our sons are picking a broker for insurance, is there someplace that they can do to check the track record of the broker, or, you know, because that's important too.
It is.
Is there anything set up like that for insurance brokers?
We are required to be licensed in the states in which we do business. I am currently licensed in 48 states. I am missing Hawaii and Alaska, but I would happily get them if I needed them. But unfortunately, I think the only thing you can do is you can ask for their NPN or national producer number, and that will tell you what states they're licensed in. Some brokerages don't require the individual broker to be licensed in every state in which they do work. They operate under the license of the brokerage itself. But that's not USI's belief. And so, you know, you can check and say, hey, it doesn't look like you have a Kansas license, but that's not going to help you all that much.
So that's pretty much the
yeah. But what you can do is research that brokerage.
Okay.
And research their reputation.
Okay.
Look, insurance is like 2/3 internet stalking sometimes, because we're looking for news articles, we're looking for things, we're looking for the buried things that people don't see, just so an underwriter doesn't find them before we do. But you can, I always Google like company versus to see, have they been sued? You know, so has that, does that company have a big open errors and omissions claim, you know, in California from a homeowner that probably means that they forgot to put some kind of coverage in place? Doesn't always mean. Sometimes people sue because they sue, but at least it gives you a heads up to say, wait a second, this brokerage seems like they got some they have some things going on. And then also you'll be on for the larger brokerages, you'll be able to see online what their reputation is and go with that. So I'd say Google the brokerage, and then go on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is a powerful tool. Go on LinkedIn, see who that broker is connected to. Are they connected to people like Hannes and Max? Or do they have three connections? What is their web presence? Read some of their posts and see if, you know, if they make sense. Unfortunately, we don't have kind of a slam dunk thing like they do, like FINRA. But you can do you can do some research on that person or that brokerage before you call them.
Wonderful. So our kids play in different states. So you were saying before some brokers are licensed in multiple states. Would that make sense to look for that type of broker?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I can't take credit for this, but I sat on a panel with an insurance litigator a couple of months ago, and she said, and this is And she said this, I didn't say this, but she said, find a national brokerage to work with. Because especially if you work in a situation, or if you live in a situation where you could move tomorrow, you want that person to be able to adjust and grow with you. Right. You don't want them to say, we don't do business in Indiana. And then you're scrambling to find someone who does do business in that state. Right. And that is no disrespect to smaller regional or local brokerages, because there are some phenomenal ones. But because of the unique situation your children live, you want to make sure that broker can adapt with them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, they need to be protected.
Yes.
Where they are,
with
right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, not to mention, not with bubble wrap. That's what we're all going to do. We're going to start sending. I'm going to send little pieces of bubble wrap to all my clients. And you bring up a really good point. Or you reminded me of a very good point. I've had players who got traded to Canada, and you want to make sure that
they're covered,
or maybe they're going to go play in Turkey over the summer, and you want to make sure that the liability is going to extend to something that happens there, and you want to be thoughtful about that and make sure, say, hey, you know, what if he gets traded to Toronto? What is your plan? And USI, while we are not an international brokerage, what we do, and I think it's pretty cool, is we partner with local brokerages in other countries. So you're getting on the ground advice from people who live in that country, but we're still able to coordinate that in such a way that it feels seamless to you. And I will tell you, our Canadian broker is so good. It excites me to be able to work with experts in that country and learn from them rather than pretending that I know French law.
Right.
See, but I appreciate what you're saying, because here I have my situation where my son's Canadian. He plays in the U.S., but then he played before overseas. There's always potential for our kids to go
anywhere
in the world.
Yeah.
Right? So I like the fact that you're saying, because to me, I wouldn't have known.
Right.
I never would have thought, you know what I mean? Like when my son was living in Turkey, I would have been like, I guess I have to go to Turkey and I have to get a broker.
How in the world am I going to find a Turkish insurance broker?
First of all, yeah, exactly. So for you saying that, you know, yeah, we can come to you and then you help us. That is things that people need to understand and need to know, because they would just figure, let's just go to Turkey and don't break your leg, man. Like, right?
Please don't hurt yourself over there,
right?
Please,
and don't hurt anybody else.
And
if you do run.
Don't take that jewelry, son.
We don't.
So, poor doggies. If these things are possible. And I think that's something to ask about. Well, what if he does end up going overseas?
Yeah.
And ask what their solution would be, because you're right. What I mean, and you just opened my eyes to that, which is how confusing would it be to have to try and find somebody in Turkey or, you know, even in Greece?
I was like, already there, like in this mindset.
In Turkey and Greece.
Yeah, I mean,
and read about us.
I did. Although I do love Greece. But I've helped a lot of players transition the other way.
Right.
And so...
just knowing the option is there is what I'm asking, because I never would have thought that. Never in a million
years. And you know, it's also, and something I will also say is that for the mothers of players who are making that transition from Europe or Turkey mm-hmm. to the United States, that is a whole new can of worms mm-hmm. because our laws and our litigiousness is so different from the rest of the world. And I know sometimes there's a bit of a language barrier there. So choose a trusted advisor. And make sure you're asking all the right questions, like how, you know, does my son need to get a U.S. driver's license? He wants to go buy a car. Can he get a car with an international driver's license? Yeah. What does that look like? And if he does get a U.S. driver's license, is that going to make a difference? Or, you know, he wants to keep his permanent residence here, but he wants to do this here. How do we arrange that?
Yeah.
And so I think it's important to ask those questions and to find a broker who empathizes and understands that unique situation.
Wow. A lot of information, a lot of great information that we should
see. Insurance can, in fact, be entertaining.
Yeah. Necessary and entertaining.
Yes.
No, but like you're saying, hugely necessary. And it's something that families really should look into and not wait for something to happen before you actually, you know, you can lose more.
Right. I say that you can have the best financial advisor who invests everything and it's growing beautifully, and you can have the best life insurance, disability policy, and you can have a phenomenal trust and estates attorney who's put everything in an LLC. But if you have a house that would cost $3 million to rebuild, and you have it insured for $500,000, and it burns down, the money to rebuild that house has to come from somewhere, and it's going to come from all of the things you've built. So you don't want insurance to be the hole that sinks your financial ship.
Wow. So before we conclude, we would like to know, is there anything that you'd like to offer to our listeners about risk management or insurance, the importance of it, anything else that you can think?
I think the thing I will say is there it is a lot.
Yeah.
Trust but verify, because I know a lot of times some of the people surrounding the athletes want to be helpful. Mm-hmm. And so they use their insurance person, and that's fine. Their insurance person might be amazing. But say, hey, you know, did Terrence get insurance on that house? Who did that? Can I see that? Can I see a copy of that? And then look at it. If you have questions, and you probably will, say, can I call the broker? And if you get a feeling and you don't feel one, if they don't want to let you talk to the broker, I would question why. And two, if you get a feeling that's not great, call someone else. And you know, our sports and entertainment team at USI we're always happy to just have a conversation. So find someone who is happy to just have a conversation, even if you hang up the phone and it ends there, because that's how it all starts. And so you want someone who will advise you and who will put you on the right track. And I think it's okay to ask for copies of those policies so that you can take a look at them and make sure that they exist.
Yeah. Well, excuse me, one second before we end. Hey, Terrence, you need more insurance. ASAP. All right, fine.
Well, I was thinking about, like, you know, another thing is you've moved, your girlfriend's moved in, now what?
Mm-hmm.
You know, should we add her to the insurance? Does she have her own stuff? Is it covered? How do we cover it? I bought her a ring. What do I do now? Does she need her own policy? Can I put her on my policy? These are important questions, because you can't just slap something on there and hope for the best.
Yeah.
So
that's a whole other episode.
That is a whole other episode. The girlfriend moved in. Now,
right?
Terrence?
Yeah.
We need to talk.
Oh, Terrence, call Kim.
You know what? We love this. We could talk about this all day because you're telling us how to protect our kids.
For sure.
Because they work so hard to get where they are.
For sure.
And the last thing we need is for them to just lose everything just because they couldn't take time, or we as moms couldn't take time to just look over a simple policy.
Right. And hey, you know what? They made it. They made it. They're there. They did the thing that they dedicated their whole lives to. And I want to be able to let them keep that tunnel vision.
Us too.
Perfect. Thank you. Thank you so very much. Yes. And this has been great. Thank you.
Of course.
Yeah. We look forward to having you again with us, because I'm sure there's going to be a lot of questions once.
Happy to answer any and all of them.
Yes.
So join us next time for another episode of A Moment for Moms. And please don't forget to like and share our episodes and share with anyone you know who's raising professional athletes or any fans who would love to get more insight on how powerful these moms are raising such great athletes and such great people.